I'm going to say something really important before we take a few final calls for Victor Boot, and I'm going to co-host Matt Bracken, come up with huge news. Former Navy SEAL, really smart geopolitical terrorism expert. When I said we have withstood the CIA, FBI, DOJ, their biggest law firms, I've never been an arrogant person. I've never talked with me. It's been God, but God works through you. It is the listeners supporting us. It's the only reason we made it through this long, okay? And so we continue on, but just I want to thank you all. When you call and thank me, please don't thank me. I want to fight. Thank you for keeping me in the fight. I really appreciate that because I don't fear anything but defeat. And we're winning together. And Trump got us so far. We got populism rising worldwide. We're winning. And that's why the globalists want a full war, because they're desperate, because they're losing power. So just remember that. Remember, it's the big picture and it's the long game. Trevor in Canada, you're on the air with Victor Boot. Go ahead.
It is a complete honor to talk to you. I've been listening to you for probably 20 years now. And in times like these, you're a beacon of light, my brother.
That's right. Well, what's your question or comment?
Well, I just kind of wanted to say, is this just a complete smokescreen for Epstein? Because it seemed like Epstein was blowing up, and then this kind of happened, what, a couple weeks later?
I mean, I think that's in part of it, but no, Israel wanted this for 20-plus years, 40 with Netanyahu. It's part of a larger geopolitical strategy. Lindsey Graham said it's about the petrodollar. So I think that is the impetus with Trump, but I don't think that's everything. Victor Boot, what do you think?
Well, absolutely, yeah, because if to say just to cover up Epstein files, yeah, for Israel, they don't care about Epstein files. It doesn't really, you know, touch them or create any political implication. It's most probably for the America or for Europe, where it was really shaking the ground so heavily and so many people have been involved, you know. And, of course, what happened, it's a big win. At least they now have a sigh of relief. Oh, my gosh, we finally get off the hook for now. And that's why, we can't exclude that this was a smoke and mirror to really get away from Epstein files' attention. But it's not only the one reason. There is several more other reasons also important, which is causing, which we're seeing right now.
That's right. Final call. And then we're going to shift gears. Ted wants to ask the most important question. Well, go ahead and ask it. What is the off-ramp? Go ahead, Ted.
Yeah, the most important thing to me is the off-ramp for Trump, and that's what everybody ought to be talking about. And to me, he ought to follow Nixon's lead in Vietnam after we lost over 50,000 troops and go home. And we did the same thing in Afghanistan. We went home. And if we don't go home, or if we do go home, Trump's ratings will go through the sky. And to me, there's no other remedy than
no,
to
I
go
agree.
Home.
He's declared victory but not stopped it. Declare victory and shut it down.
Exactly. And his ratings will go sky high.
Great question. Anything else, Ted?
No, that's it, because there's no other off-ramp, and this is going to descend into hell.
Thank you, sir. Victor, comments on that?
Well, unfortunately, this is an American tradition. They need to exhaust all wrong options before nothing else left, and they do the one right one. You know, as he said, just quit, just, you know, go home. But I think there is something still left in there, you know, war box that they have to use, as I said, unfortunately. But, you know, we see it in Afghanistan, we saw it in Iraq, we saw it in Vietnam. And this is
and
a damn thing.
And we saw it with the Russians in Afghanistan. I mean, you got to know when to pull out.
Well, the Russian presence in Afghanistan had, a little bit different, connotation and historical background. First of all,
no, I know the CIA attacked. I know that overthrew an attack. That was, right.
Yeah, but you see, Afghanistan for Russia, we did our lessons out of Afghanistan. And right now, despite, whatever past, we have a very decent relation with Afghanistan, and Russia actually recognized the Taliban government, and there is a lot of economical ties going on. There is often Taliban delegation coming to Moscow.
No, that's a good thing. Well, let's pray for peace. Try to shut this down. You'll be back on next Tuesday. Thank you for your time. Real Victor Boot on X. Thank you, Victor.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Power, let me say bye to you. Now, Matt Bracken's got huge news. He's a real geopolitical expert. Coming up, stay with us. We'll be right back in 60 seconds. That was Victor Boot. All my X. I know you're the big big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier it would. I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother. Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Looks at right-wing zealot himself, Alex Jones, and what he's saying.
We need to be sad about Trump. This is not funny. This is not good. But he's gone. And that's it. And he does look sick. And he does babble and, you know, sound like the brain's not doing too hot. We just cut bait on Trump and we just mobilize against the Democrats. And all the people rallied around him. You can see Hegseth's freaked out. You can see the press secretary's freaked out. They're being loyal. They think it's the lesser of two evils. And I Trump needs intervention. He needs to take some time off. We need to pray for Trump. The Holy Spirit touch his heart and loose him from whatever evil control he's under. I'm serious. And I think that's the answer. We need to pray for President Trump. We need to.
Oh, my Lord. Did you hear what that man just said? That's Alex Jones, y'all. I mean, that man is so right. I don't know if he knows how to turn left. That man said, Trump is gone. That's what he said.
I'm just reporting the facts here, trying to stop a nuclear war. We'll see what happens at 8 o'clock tonight. Matt Bracken's really smart. Look forward to handing the baton to him in a moment. Let me do this because I didn't do it last hour. I'm going to make the announcement tomorrow. I finally had the meeting 2 hours this morning, off and on, and barely got in here to do the show. Thank God I got ready before that. It takes me at least 3 hours to get ready. God, I always overload and don't hit 10% of it. But it feeds into my overall analysis. That InfoWars is shutting down. So, it's a big deal. And we fought so much and been through so much, but Yahoo and MSNBC, oh, Jones is about to be over. Ha, ha, ha. We're not over, folks. We're going to be more effective and stronger than ever. Satellites, same radio stations, just a new name of the show, new website, all of it, and it's up to you to explode this. We held on so long. They all got exposed. They had a Pyrrhic victory, meaning they lost in the end, but it's really up to all of you, and I appreciate you, and I thank you. But again, I need the funds with the new network and the new owners and the sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, because I don't own that. They can't shut it down. That owns the Alex Jones Network. Bigger studios being built. All this is happening. It takes money to win a war. So obviously, I'm going to sell you great products that really work. I need the majority of you that never buy a T-shirt or a hat, which are great, widest selection, some of the best designs. But the supplements really are the best. Our Ultra Methylene Blue, the best. Methylene Red, nobody has it. Special to us, incredible. Our Bovine Colostrum, the best. Our Shilajit, our CMOS. Our Iodine, T3, it's X2 even stronger. The only pure iodine there is. Incredible for your body. You are missing out not having this. And Bigley, I don't own Bigley, so they come up with these ideas. I'm going to call them and say, you told me you're buying these bottles for $16, $17 a piece from a medical grade facility. You're selling them for $16.79. They're like, I know what they're going to say. I'm talking about other stuff they've done this on. Well, it's so good, they're going to be, but yeah, they're locking it in. And I guess the idea is you'll love it so much you'll buy other products, but the ultramethylene blue, 72% off when you subscribe. It's just your profile. You can click anytime and cancel it for free. It just ships to you each month, charges you $16.79 for the best methylene blue out there that'll change your life. Stamina, libido, energy, everything's so good for your whole body. Skips oxidation process of the cells. It's magic. You become a subscriber, it locks in at $16.79. That's cost. And by the time they do all the other stuff, the shipping and handling, the cost of the building, it's a lost leader. I'm going to tell them, hey, why don't you do $19.95? Can we make $3 here? That is an insane deal right there. And again, once you subscribe forever, until you unsubscribe, one click, you get it locked in at that price. That is too good a deal, actually. But I'm not the boss anymore, so whatever. They pay the bills. I got a new InfoWars limited edition ice chest cooler with a bunch of cool gifts inside of it and sunglasses and a bunch of other stuff. It's $199 value for $99. VIP member $79.99. For VIP, $30 a month, you get $40 to spend. Special offer sales on everything. Just an example right there. And we got a rolling sale up to 40% off on Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit Caps and Gummies, MK Ultra, Mind Booster, Atomic Defense, Immune Defense, Colostrum is 35% off, Life Force 35% off, Iodine T3 30% off, Methylene Red 30% off, Creatine Power 30% off. All three of those are selling out. But the T-shirt selection is the widest out there. It's actually obnoxious because I'll have a shirt for a while and give it to somebody or lose it or gets a hole in it or whatever. You know, catch it on a doorknob or something. And I'm trying to buy the same shirt again. You think, well, I should just call them. It's actually lazy to just go online and get it. But I do call them because I can't find the shirts. They go, here it is. Plus, I like to see how fast they deliver it, which they do a great job. On average, about 5-day delivery. So, thealexshowstore.com, thealexshowstore.com, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. It's all there. And I can tell you what's even in the news. They're shutting down almost all the Trump merch sites. No one's buying any of it. I checked last week. No one's buying. We used to sell a lot of Trump merch. We like Trump. You know. No one's buying it. But Trump, 100% agree with me. Everyone loves it. The Iranians love being bombed. Yeah, you see them at the bridge, the national parks being blown up. They're all running and screaming. Yeah, these genocidal comments, the definition of genocide. We will destroy your old civilization. You'll never come back. You and your people are dead. And then it's for the people. This is a disaster. Who told Trump to say the definition? You know, he's reading off a thing when he says this. You can see when Trump's looking down or looking over a teleprompter. He tells me, he's like, they're setting him up. And I'm not defending him. It is a setup. This is, Catherine Fitz agrees with me, this is COVID 2.0. This is the plan. So Matt Bracken, best-selling author, former Navy SEAL, terrorism, geopolitical expert, enemiesforeigndomestic.com, takes over for the next 46 minutes ahead of the mighty Harrison Smith and the War Room, 3 to 6 p.m. right here on the InfoWars Network here in the twilight of this operation. Matt Bracken, tell us what you got.
Well, they'll never kill the signal. You know, they can change studios and letterhead, but they can't change the, you know, they can't kill the signal. So that's what's important.
That's right. It's like the movie Serenity, you know, they can't kill the signal.
That's right. So we're obviously all waiting to see what happens tonight. People on bridges and around power plants in Iran, are we going to unleash hell and destroy their civilization so they can't rebuild in 100 years? As Trump has said, you know, a multi-generational, really a genocide. If you cut off the power to 92 million people and cut off their bridges so that they can't even walk, you know, this is a very mountainous country. Iran is 6 times as big as Colorado, but it's even more mountainous than Colorado because Colorado already starts at like 5,000 feet in high plains. And goes up to, I think, like 15,000 feet. Iran starts at sea level and goes up to 18,000 feet. So when you talk about bridges, you're not talking about like a bridge across a road in Kansas. You're talking about extremely vital infrastructure built up over, you know, centuries, really, these bridges to connect towns and hamlets.
And let's remember when Madeleine Albright tripled sanctions under Clinton from what Herbert Walker had done, it killed up to 3 million people, mainly children, cutting off food and medicine to Iraq. This will be the same thing. This is genocide.
Right. And I just, I know we've been talking a lot about Trump's mind state. Is he being mind controlled? I very often draw lessons from history, also from biology. There are lots of in the animal world, and there are lots of examples of species that, like the cuckoo bird that invades a nest and pushes out the actual eggs and puts its own eggs in there so that another bird species will raise its own cuckoo bird children, or the parasitic wasp that lays its eggs inside of a big larva caterpillar, so that the caterpillar is essentially hijacked and becomes just the host for the baby wasps, you know, to come out of. I think that Trump is just a husk at this point, and I think he's either been like mind controlled by Susie Wiles and the Third Templars, like Pete Hegseth, who has in his book he talks about these end times prophecies. So, I mean, he's the guy that said we negotiate with bombs. I mean, imagine that's the message America is sending to the world now. We negotiate with bombs. They brag about assassinating entire tiers of leaders. I mean, they joke about how hard it is to find new leaders and Trump will like occasionally use a euphemism, like say, it's hard to find people to talk to because the rest are dead. And then it's almost like a little, little like head wink. We killed them, or the Israelis and us killed them. But remember, when you're talking now about the Israelis and America, there's no distance between them. None at all. The Israelis are not flying Israeli airplanes. They're flying American airplanes with Israeli paint on them. We sold them, or actually gave them the airplanes. You know, so an F-16 with a Star of David on it is still an F-16. And American taxpayers essentially paid for it. The 2,000-pound bombs that we dropped on Gaza, or that Israel dropped on Gaza, they're made in America, dropped from a made-in-America airplane. So it's a very thin excuse to say, well, Israel did this or Israel did that. In modern war, deconfliction is super important. That means we don't want the Navy on a target at the same time as the Air Force, because they might be dropping bombs on each other. So everybody has to have liaisons. And that's especially true in joint and combined operations. So you'll have Israeli and American liaisons in each other's headquarters. So essentially the planes are flying side by side, you could say, on parallel tracks, so that they're not at the same altitude crossing paths and having mid-air collisions or accidentally misunderstanding each other in identification, friend or foe. So you know for sure, yeah, that's my Israeli pal over there. That's my American pal over there. There's no difference. And I saw a new word this week that I've been using. It's spelled like capital U, capital S, Rael. Instead of United States and Israel, it's Usrael. Usrael. That's how the world looks at us now. And I don't know if you've got my memes up, but number three is like this little Master Blaster meme we occasionally look at. That's now how I think that the world looks at us. That's from Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome. So Israel, all along, their plan has been to destroy Iran, to turn it into a failed state like Libya, like Lebanon, Gaza, Syria, Iraq. That's what Israel designs for that nation of Iran: utter destruction, warlords, people starving, no bridges, no power plants, and the control, the brain function is the evil dwarf on our back. And we're the big, happy, dumb goons that are, so proud to engage in this. But I really wish that I could get through to anybody in the Pentagon or anybody 06 or flag rank that this had better work. I'm telling you, this had better work. If you can put up number one, it's the Grok Nuremberg thing. In 1940, the Germans were very happy that the Germans thought, you know, we're going to win this war, so who cares who started it, right? Who cares who started it? We need to start it. We have our reasons. We need living space. There's all these subhumans out there, and we're just going to attack, period. Who cares? They never dreamed that they might lose, and that when they were in the dock in Nuremberg, one of the main charges, the primary foundational charges against these top Germans who were hanged, except for Goering, somebody snuck cyanide into his cell. That's the fat guy on the left. They never dreamed that they would be charged with planning and waging a war of aggression. That was number one charge. All of the deaths that spun out of that had their genesis in starting a war of aggression. You can't say, well, you know, Matt, come on, you know, it had to happen. They've been our enemy for decades. It was just a matter of who threw the first punch. That's not if we don't win this war, and I'm going to explain how there's a lot of ways we might not win this war, the people will be held to account. I think by then Trump will have passed away, or he'll be in a mental institution judged incompetent like Biden. But the generals around him and the cabinet members around him, they're going to be held responsible. This is absolutely going to happen at some point, because there's no guarantee that we win this war. And we're going into what I call a world energy war. Okay, this is going to be the great energy world war. You can't say World War III or World War IV, because people will say, well, the Cold War was World War III, so this is World War IV. So I'm just throw away the numbers and call it the energy world war. This is the great energy world war, and it's not going to be contained to the Middle East. Tonight, we're probably going to see, aside from Iran's power grid and bridges being destroyed, we're going to see strike and counterstrike against all of the energy infrastructure around the Persian Gulf. In a sense, it won't matter if the Strait of Hormuz is open or closed in a week or a couple weeks, because there'll be no oil coming out. All of these refineries and terminals will be destroyed. They'll be in ruins. So that 20% of the world's energy and like 30% of the phosphates for fertilizers and the natural gas that's also used to make fertilizer, that'll be off of the table. It won't be a matter of a hiccup, you know, a slight pause in the supply chains. That 20% will be gone. It took decades and probably trillions of dollars to build that infrastructure from, you know, Saudi Arabia, the Gulf states, Kuwait, Iran. It's taken decades and billions of dollars. If that's taken off, and it is right now just by the Strait of Hormuz being closed, but if that's completely removed, there's no way to avoid a global Great Depression. Already, Australia is running out of gas. And think of it this way. A tanker, a ship, moves at the speed of a bicycle, like 12 miles an hour. So a ship leaves the Strait of Hormuz heading for Japan or Australia on February 27th, the day before we started this war, it's already arrived. There are no more ships behind it. The ships that are heading to Europe take about 45 days to come around the Cape of Good Hope, the bottom of Africa. It's a longer trip. They don't fit through the Suez Canal, the big ultra-large crude carriers. The last ships will arrive in Europe this week. And after that, there's no more. This means that even if there's a miraculous deal made tonight, you know, and ships leave the Persian Gulf tomorrow, there'll be approximately a 45-day gap where there's no fuel reaching Europe. This is absolutely going to, no matter what happens, this is baked in the cake. No matter what happens, at the best case, the minimum case, Europe is going to be out of fuel for a month and a half to 2 months, out of fuel, which means factories will close down. They're going to have travel restrictions. They're going to do strict rationing, what they're going to call energy lockdowns. You know, rat on your neighbor for using a generator when he wasn't supposed to. It's going to be like COVID, but instead of biological, it's going to be energy use and economics. And don't think America doesn't rely on imported oil. We do. Just because we're a net exporter doesn't mean that we don't require certain types of fuel to be imported. There are some fuels we need to mix certain types of fuel blends that we don't have them here. So yeah, we're a net exporter, but we still are part of the interconnected global economy. And now at the end of this, some people that are, that professor, what's his name, Zhang, his last excellent YouTube video, it's about, this maybe is a super long, deep game where America is going to essentially corner the energy market. And America and Russia will become the dominant powers because we'll be the only ones left exporting oil with the Middle East destroyed. That sounds great, but I don't think that people understand what it's going to mean if the rest of the world looks at America like some kind of a mafia villain who, you know, like a you know, in a, one of these movies like the old Western town with the corrupt sheriff, or the corrupt Southern town where the boss hog, you know, is the sheriff and his son is the mayor and they own everything. He owns the biggest gas station in town, but there's another one or two gas stations in town. So he sends arsonists out to blow them up and burn them down, right? And to shoot at tankers trying to go to refill them or fix them. Yeah, now he owns the only gas station in town, right? So you think he's like on Easy Street. Now he can raise prices, do whatever he wants. That's great, except everybody in the world now hates America because they know who caused this. And it, I sent a cartoon over. That's the, I think it's number six. This is what the world is now looking at for America. We are like the maniac arsonists who think that we're going to make out by destroying the globe's economy and being the last supplier, you know, the last resort supplier. If it, this is so short-sighted, you know, the Germans and the Japanese in World War II, they had visions of an alliance that would span the globe and they would have all everything controlled. It didn't work out in the end. There's no guarantee that this plan works out in the end. We can literally turn the entire planet against us. And this is not going to be a happy day for us when, you know, Americans abroad can be, you know, kidnapped, lynched, for like Israelis right now. There are countries in Europe, Israelis can't even travel. They'll have rocks thrown at them. You know, Americans will not be able to travel with an American flag on their pack or their laptop. It's going to be, oh no, I'm from Canada. I'm not from that crazy country that, you know, burned down the energy supply of the world and led to a famine. I mean, if you think it's bad in you know, Europe, Australia, Japan, imagine you're in some marginal African country that can barely feed itself in the best times. Now there's no diesel fuel and there's no fertilizer, and the 2025 harvest fails, or the 2026 harvest rather, and next year is a famine. The whole world will know who did it. It's not going to be good for America. I'm just getting started. I'll see you on the other side.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it and you like it and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high quality, private label, top selling brand that we were able to private label. We're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high quality zeolite. Please do your own research. and then go to theoliveshowstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding, eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Enter Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite Detox Formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners in the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber. Lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs. Cancel any time. $30 a month. Get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones with Matt Bracken.
You know, I was born in 1957, and a lot of my brothers, older brothers, their friends, they were drafted. There was still a draft. I was extremely aware and conscious. I was actually at a couple draft parties where, you know, 19, 20-year-old college guys are watching to see what number their birthday comes up, and if it's a low number, they're going to be, you know, off to Vietnam. And if they had a high number, they'd breathe a sigh of relief and go on with their life. Notably, our present president that I voted for 3 times, he had 4 college deferments, and then he got a medical bone spur deferment. So it's interesting that, you know, he may be sending troops into harm's way when he did everything he could to avoid service in that time. Now back in Vietnam. And I'm going to bring this back up to today with, you know, the officers that we sometimes active duty or early or you know recently retired we see on TV all the time. This guy, Colonel David Hackworth, I think he died, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 years ago. It's a fantastic book. I should got to reread this. I've read it two or three times. But this guy, Colonel David Hackworth, he used to be on TV once in a while. He'd always wear like a black turtleneck. Very cool guy. He was a battlefield commission in Korea. That's where, you know, some private jumps on a tank and takes over the battle and you know, the lieutenant's useless or dead or the sergeants are combat ineffective and some private just like takes charge. He was a battlefield commission. That's how he became a lieutenant on the battlefield in Korea. He actually tried to get into World War II. He was too young, so he was in the Merchant Marine, which would take him, you know, like even younger. But he was I think he was the youngest colonel in the United States Army. And he was considered such a gung-ho shooting star, way out in front guy, that he was in charge of developing a lot of the tactics and procedures. He was given command of some experimental units, allowed a lot of leeway in how he would fight. He was in the Army, but he was down in the Delta, which is kind of a little bit different. But when he finally determined that, you know, the war was not going to be won, it couldn't be won the way that it was being won, while he was on active duty, he threw his career away. He went on television. He went on one of the Sunday shows and said, I can't do this anymore. I can't be a prop for this, all these lies. You know, this meat grinder that's not going to work, can't work, been here, done everything. You know, we dropped more than three times more bombs on Vietnam, Little South Vietnam, than we dropped in World War II on Germany. And, you know, we had over 4,000 combat aircraft at the height of the war right in Vietnam. They didn't have to invade Vietnam. They were right in Vietnam. 550,000 troops right in South Vietnam. We lost that war. So Iran is you know, 10 times bigger than South Vietnam, with six times its population. I'm wondering, is there anybody in the Pentagon willing to say, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be, you know, one of those guys that said, I'm just following orders. Is there anybody in the Pentagon, anybody in command that will take off the stars, go on TV and say, I'm sorry, pension or no pension, my conscience won't allow it. I'm not going to be on team genocide. I'm just not going to do it. We've been hearing about these generals being fired by Pete Hegseth, and presumably because they think that, that you know, what's coming is a disaster, an unfolding disaster. But are any of them willing to forego their pension and just say, I can't live with that. I'm not going to do it. Anybody? I don't think that. You know, the way you get paid is, you know, and these are like six-figure salaries. These are like $300,000 to $1 million to be on call for Fox News to put you on, like General Jack Keane, to put you on to say everything's great. Iran's about to fall. If you tell these lies, you get a $500,000, $800,000 a year. Is it worth the price of your soul, or are you just really that stupid? I mean, we don't have 550,000 troops to send to Iran, and Iran is 10 times bigger than South Vietnam. And we can't just roll it in ships and unload like we did at Da Nang in 1965 and set up bases all over the country. We'll have to fight our way in. And if we had drafted a 2 or 3 million man army and we conquer Iran, then we'll have to occupy it forever against an insurgency that's in a country that's six Colorados. And after we've bombed their bridges and blown up their power stations, do you think they're going to love us? You know, my small academic background was Russian studies in college, but I've followed these things super closely all my life. In the Second World War, if the Germans had come in as liberators and said we're here to get rid of the communists, there was a chance that they could have flipped the whole thing. like the polarity being switched, like a diode. But they didn't. They came in treating them like Untermenschen. And the people who didn't love Stalin, especially in, you know, the approaches to Moscow, Belarus, Ukraine, which was part of the Soviet Union then, they definitely didn't love the communists. But when you come in and you just start blowing people up and, you know, machine gunning villages and laughing like, ha-ha, it's sport, you know, like Israelis in Gaza, they actually turned the country back to Stalin out of a survival instinct. And Stalin, now this is kind of real politic that is very comparable to Iran now. So the 1930s, the communists in Russia, the Soviet Union, they're getting rid of Christianity. They're not burning down the churches, but they like turned them into museums of communism, things like that. They didn't burn them. Then they need the people on their side again that during in after 1941, Operation Barbarossa, that now they need the people. They said, let's allow some religion again. Let's allow people to wear a cross or have a chaplain. We're still communists, but we need these people. So this is what we can see in Iran right now. Iran has become a very secular society outside of the hardcore, you know, Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. Being forced to adhere to Islamic law for all these years has turned the average Iranian against forced religion. And so like Stalin, it's like an obverse, like Stalin saying, maybe we'll go a little bit easy on the forced, abolishing of religion. We'll allow people to have their religion. Right now, the Iranians are going to say, we need the people on our side, so we're going to go a little bit easy on forcing the religion down their throat, and we're going to emphasize nationalism. Same thing that Stalin did. We're going to downplay international communism and emphasize Russian national patriotism, including orthodoxy. And so right now, we're bombing the crap out of Iran, and the Iranian people are rallying to Iran as a national cause, not to support the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, but they're facing a genocide. And today, with what Trump said, this is like Hitler coming into Russia and saying, we're just going to kill all the Untermenschen. I mean, you can't be more clear than that. We're going to destroy this civilization so it can't return again for 100 years, Trump said. You know, it is in the tweet and also in some of his spoken commentary. 100 years. They can't rebuild it for 100 years. We're going to turn them back to the Stone Age. These are people that had cities, you know, with running water centuries before Rome did. Centuries before. These are very smart people. The word Iran is related to Aryan. Yeah, Aryan. As opposed to Persian, which was a word put on them by the Greeks, like us calling the Deutsch people Germans. You know, the Persians is a word that was put on them from outside. They consider themselves the Aryans. They're very, very smart people. And even if we could somehow raise an army, draft an army of millions, and conquer Iran, we would just be setting ourselves up for decades and decades of a counterinsurgency that would be much tougher than the Vietnam War, orders of magnitude tougher. I mean, can you put up, there's a map of Korea I had. It says, question, do you wish? It's number 5, the Korea map. Is people are, one of the main talking points of this situation is that, Matt, if the Iranians get the bomb, they're going to use it. They're crazy. They're suicidal maniacs. You know, we can't let them get the bomb. They were saying the same thing about Kim Jong-un and his father 30 years ago, 20 years ago. Believe me, the neocons had the same exact talking point. Matt, the North Koreans, they're crazy. If they get nukes, they'll use them because they're crazy. Okay? Who here wishes that we had gone to war in 2005, full war, you know, Incheon Landing, cross the DMZ, you know, mobilization like Desert Storm to invade North Korea, to go into those mountains and into those tunnel complexes, to take away their rocket program and take away their nuclear program? And how many casualties would have been worth? If we lost 10,000 or 20,000 Americans, would that have been worth it? Let's say 30,000 Americans, would that have been worth it? Maybe 8 years or 5 years, less than Vietnam. And at the end, if you've gone into the last North Korean tunnel complex and destroyed the last centrifuge and the last rocket factory, then what do you have to do? You have to occupy North Korea forever, okay? Now, here's the news flash. Iran is 14 times bigger than North Korea. It's 10 times bigger than South Vietnam. Iran makes North Korea, if you remember all the movies of the Korean War, Bitter Cold, Chosun Reservoir, fighting in icy mountains. Iran makes North Korea look like Central Park. It has 18,000-foot mountains. These tunnel complexes are bored sideways into the sides of granite mountains so that they're thousands of feet underneath of granite. Our bunker buster bombs, they don't even hear them in those complexes. Somebody has to tell them, a 2,000-pounder hit. You know, really? Didn't feel it. Because it was 3,000 feet of granite up above us. And we're going to send a couple C-130s and a few hundred Spec Ops troops in to these mountain complexes that are in dozens of mountains. You know, these are the Iranians. These are not Saudis. These are not Afghans. These guys tunnel like they're Swiss or Germans. When you think of Iranians, you know, one of the targets we're hitting today are their universities. And you know why we're hitting their universities? Well, Matt, that's where their scientists learn how to do all this stuff. If we're going to destroy them and wipe out their civilization, we're going to have to wipe out their universities. This is the war we're fighting now, folks. This is extremely immoral. And not only is it immoral, as if, you know, we're up on Mount Olympus and the dirt people down there can never touch us. They can touch us. This is not World War II or even Vietnam, where we have an Atlantic and a Pacific that are going to protect us. If we continue this war of destruction, of civilizational destruction, do you think they're going to surrender? They didn't surrender for 8 years against the Iraqis when we were supplying the Iraqis with poison gas to drop poison gas on Iran. They didn't surrender. They are not going to surrender. And if they have destroyed everything within their reach and they've used up all of their rockets, and there's nothing left to fire at Israel or at the American allies, you know, in UAE, Qatar, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, there's nothing left for them to hit. We're still not going to be able to invade them because we don't have a tenth of the force required to hold any ground there. No matter what, if we put the lights out in that country, they will still hold the Strait of Hormuz. If all of that infrastructure in the Persian Gulf is destroyed, we're in a Great Depression, folks. But even short of that, who is to say now that we have put these tactics on the table as legitimate military targets, part of our strategy, that we can destroy a country's electrical grid because we don't like their policy? We want to, as Trump even said, they have to say uncle. They have to bow. They have to bend the knee. We call it in our propaganda media negotiations, but it's negotiations like the mafia where you're tied to a chair with a gun at your head. That's what the mafia calls a negotiation. Surrender everything you've got, become my slave, or I blow your head off. That's a negotiation. To the rest of the world, that's a mafia threat and extortion. And don't think for a minute that the tens of thousands of people, actually millions that came in over the open border during the Biden years and were here before, don't think for a minute there aren't tens of thousands of operatives that came in. They're disciplined. The Iranians are not, you know, of course, you'll always get lone wolves that are on their own frequency. But the actual Chinese and Iranian agents that have come into our country and have no doubt about it, they're operating still under military discipline in the sense that, yes, we're establishing safe houses. We're establishing agent rat lines. You know, we're doing target recon. But we're not acting until we're told because we're part of an overall military effort. But if the power goes out in Tehran, nobody can ever say now that taking out America's electrical grid is an act of terrorism. So if you can put up, I think it's number two, it says if we destroy Iran's electrical power grid, that's like the picture is from, I think, the 1977 Great Power Outage in New York City. But you can see there's just car headlights that are lighting up New York City there. If we take out Iran's power grid and throw that country into the Stone Age so that people in hospitals all die and all the food in the supermarket spoils and the bridges are destroyed and people are isolated and the waterworks are destroyed because a lot of the water pipes go on these pipes or these bridges, make no mistake. A bridge is not just a thing that a train or a car drives over. A bridge also has electrical power, water, gas lines. That's on the bottom of the bridge. So when we destroy the bridge, we're destroying in many cases, the water and the power and the gas. Do you think now that if somebody in this country already with pre-planned targets, like the California Metcalf attack, that has already been reconned, and these guys are in cells, under military discipline, undercover, but they've got their pre-planned reconned targets. And if they're told our counterstrike against America is the power grid, and they go out and they do 20 or 30 Metcalf attacks in one night, where these giant transformers that are, these 15 and 20 foot tall high power transformers are destroyed, do you think we're going to call it terrorism? How can we call it terrorism? We started this war. Anybody that says, well, Matt, it's sort of been a war for 47 years. Look, we started this war. We did sneak attacks. Perfidy, kind of an old English sounding word, perfidy, like a perfidious person, is to lure somebody in with a fake offer of talks or a truce and then assassinate them. You know, hold up the white flag to get them in range, then your sniper shoots them. That's perfidy. We did that last June. We did that February 28th. We let it happen in Qatar last year. This was Hezbollah negotiators in Qatar. We allowed that building where they were meeting, the Hezbollah negotiators, we allowed Israeli bombers to hit it. And we have the greatest radar in the Middle East. We knew it was coming and we let it happen. Perfidy. Nobody will trust America now. Who is going to meet Americans to have negotiations? We've proven how we negotiate. Pete Hegseth said, with that one of those pictures, Pete Hegseth said, we negotiate with bombs. We negotiate with bombs. We're off the rails, folks. You know, this is like Germany and Japan in 1939 or 41. It might be selling on Fox News and even on CNN. They're kind of like, you know, hey, wasn't that a great rescue? And they're not even talking about why would all these C-130s be flying in? Not for a rescue. So they're even what you would think are kind of middle of the road networks. They're really sticking very close to the propaganda line, sort of seeing which way the winds of war blow before they come out for it or against it. But I'm telling you, when you start a war of aggression, Yeah, reasons. We had reasons. You know, the Iranians, they're crazy. If they get a nuke, they'll use them. They haven't. They had a, their former supreme leader had a fatwa against building nuclear weapons. To Americans who are used to perfidy as a tactic, well, you know, Matt, those Iranians, they always lie. That's projection. That's projection. They would, we would always lie because we always do. So therefore, they would always lie. But in their society, if the supreme religious leader says, we don't build nuclear weapons, they don't build nuclear weapons. Well, we killed that guy. The guy, and then we killed the next level below him and the next level below him. The guys under them are like, I am sure right now they're spinning up the centrifuges in some mountain complex as we speak. As we speak. And all they've got to do is drag this out. They don't need a victory. They don't need to have a, they, all they need to do is keep firing a couple missiles at Israel and around the Gulf every night for the next couple months. And the world economy goes into a Great Depression. And the entire world looks at Trump and the United States and says, you did this. You thought it would be an easy victory. You thought you could assassinate a few leaders and the Iranian people would rise up. Because Bibi Netanyahu told you that. But what Netanyahu wants is a destroyed Iran. And Iran's not going by the script. So if somebody parks a truck bomb on the Golden Gate Bridge or, you know, one of the Hudson River bridges and blows it up, we're just going to say, well, you know, whatever. That's war. When you start a war of aggression with sneak attacks, we used to always say this about the Japanese. Hey, you started the war at Pearl Harbor, so we finished it at Hiroshima. That was like a set phrase all my life growing up. You started it at Pearl Harbor, so don't bitch if it ends up at Hiroshima. Well, we started this one on February 28th with sneak attacks, assassination sneak attacks. That's not the country I grew up in. Anyway, I'm always glad to sit in this chair and talk to the InfoWars audience. We don't know what's going to happen with InfoWars in the future. I've got, you know, besides David Hackworth's book, and I wish there were a few David Hackworths around, I have my own books people can find and read, and you know, that'll help keep me going. But who knows what's going to happen in the next days or weeks. Will Trump decide to spare the world, or will Trump trigger Armageddon? I think, seriously, he has a messiah complex. I think that the Susie Wileses and the Pete Hegseths around him have convinced him that he's like some man of destiny, you know, number 47 and 47 years in Iran. I think that he's got a total messiah complex, and it's not going to end well.
Let me do this. The folks at Bigley, about 7-8 months ago, came out with this top-of-the-line Faraday cage backpack with all these special pockets, super high quality. I'd previously bought a bag for myself personally like this, similar brand, for $500. The problem was they only got 500 of these. Well, guess what? They got a couple thousand of them finally in. It took 7-8 months. It's a $600 value, just the bag, for $249. But guess what comes in it? America First Faraday bag, America First Tactical Trench Knife. It's badass. America First T-shirt, MKUltra Atomic Defense Supplements, Shilajit Gummy, Shilajit Capsules, Irish Sea Moss Capsules, Warcry Premium product, and more. And VIP members get it for $199. Also, as you can now read in the newspapers, the Texas receiver is saying he's not going to pay the rent or the bills. So you guys, when are we going to be shut down? Tomorrow? 2 weeks from now? I'm going to just wait till the lights turn off, okay? You'll probably see InfoWars go down the site. You see streaming shut down. Once we can't do it, we have the All Shows Network built at Bigley Owns, and I'm going to go over and do it there. But I'm going to ride this horse till it dies. I'm going to ride this race car till the engine blows or the wheels come off. Or I crash into the embankment. I ain't giving up. I'm riding this horse till I win or I lose. And then the media's like, oh, he's finally going to lose. Oh, yeah, all right. I am the InfoWar. Our listeners are the InfoWar. And we got a whole line. Here's the first one of a limited edition Veterans of the InfoWar t-shirts. Look at this. This is badass, and it's the troops on Iwo Jima raising the American flag with the InfoWars patch where the stars are. InfoWars lives forever. It is an amazing limited edition shirt. Look at that bad boy. And it funds this operation, but also the Alex Jones Network to keep us on the air. We need funds. We want to get more reporters back and expand, but we need your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.